The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Discover a new relationship and approach to life through the space between. Join spiritual teacher Brittany Mondito for A Moment of Silence, a weekend workshop May 24th to 26th at Omega Institute's beautiful campus in Rhinebeck, New York. Everything we're searching for lies behind what we're running from, Brittany says. Reconnect with your inner sense of safety, grounding, and centeredness. Learn more today at eomega.org/thrive.
Welcome to the Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life podcast. I'm your host, Nadia De La Cruz, founder of the Wayne Dyer Wisdom Community on Facebook and angeltarot.org. I'm really excited to do something a little bit different for this episode. I'll be bringing on a very special guest. Dr. Ken Harris will be joining me. He is a pioneer in holistic healing, founder of the Waldwick Wellness Center in New Jersey, providing all natural health and wellness for 45 years. Incredible. He is now retired from active practice and sharing his insights as an author, workshop presenter, and keynote speaker. We'll be talking a little bit about his new book, Synchronicity: The Magic, the Mystery, the Meaning. He was also a friend and chiropractor to Dr. Wayne Dyer, near and dear to my own heart. Ken, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, Natalie, I am humbled and honored to be here tonight and share some of the wisdom of Wayne that he gave to the world so graciously and unselfishly.
It is a real pleasure to connect with you, and I'm excited for some of the stories that you're going to share with all of us today. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to talk about your mentor. Your book, Synchronicity, is dedicated to Bill Bain. And I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about who he was and the impact that he had on your life.
Well, I could talk volumes of the impact Bill had on my life personally.
We can do another episode on that altogether, I'm sure.
Well, Bill was a chiropractor in Derry, New Hampshire. He and his five brothers had the largest chiropractic service, they didn't call it practice, in the entire world, where they saw upwards of 3,000 patient visits per week. People came from all over the country, actually the world, for their care. They operated on what they call the GPC principle, which is they had no fee for their service. They called it the God Patient Chiropractic. People made a donation. But they gave freely of themselves. They had miraculous healings. When you met Bill, you felt him before you met him. He was an Irishman, a friendly guy, loved people, loved life. And you would feel him 15, 20 feet out before you even got into his speaking presence. And when I met him for the first time at the college, I was a professor. I heard he was coming to the school to talk to the students. So out of curiosity, I went to hear about him because I knew he had this great reputation. And I sat in the back of the room of about 200 people. And when he started to speak, Natalie, I started to cry. Not saddened, not tears of sadness, but tears of joy. For I had finally met the man who embodied and represented everything I had been looking for my entire life. I couldn't believe what I was hearing him say. I can tell you verbatim what he said the first day. That's the impact he had on me. It got to the point where everybody else in the room disappeared in my awareness. It was just Bill talking to me that day. And I kind of woke up, you might say. I was 28 years old, and I had an epiphany. I remembered who I am and why I'm on this planet. And Bill was the person who provided that point of reminder to me. And so I mentored with him for over 10 years. The rest is history. He left an indelible imprint in my life, like the Wayne did for many others. Wayne Dyer did that for many other people as well, I'm sure. Back in his novels, you hear people talking about the impact he had. But, you know, they say a second in the soul can last you a lifetime. So Bill and I had a soulful moment. And his own children told me, his own earthly children told me that I was probably one of his spiritual children in another lifetime, if you believe in that. But I felt too, that he was my spiritual father. So my first encounter was indelibly inscribed in my heart when I met Bill. And he touched thousands and thousands of chiropractors and other healers. We started an organization called the Whole Health Institute back in 1970. And we had representation of the gamut of all the healing arts, from the medical to the shamanic to chiropractic to nutrition to yoga. We were all under one roof. And the intention of the Whole Health Institute was to coalesce all the modalities and get them talking to each other instead of fighting with one another about who had the magic bullet. And Bill was a master teacher. And all healing, there were certain principles of healing, regardless of the modality, that were common to all of us. And that was the impetus and the purpose behind the Whole Health Institute, which lasted until the mid-1990s. Mm-hmm. It fell apart. He had died, unfortunately, abruptly, at a rather young age, only 56 years of age. He got a heart attack. And I kept it going for a while, but I wasn't able to maintain his presence. He was a magnet, Bill. When you met Bill, you knew your life was going to change. That's all I could say. He had that kind of dynamic personality. And he was a lover of life, lover of people. And he lectured all over the world. And so we had representation in every country and many famous medical doctors. We had Bernie Siegel from Love, Medicine, and Miracles. He was part of our group. Mm-hmm. Jerry Polsky also was part of the group. Larry Dasse. Many went on to develop their own followings, but in the beginning, they were all connected to Bill.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So I could talk for days about Bill, but we're here to talk about Wayne.
Yeah, well, we're here to talk about a lot of things, but Wayne is central to that for me and maybe for some of our audience members today. But so when you met Bill Bain, this was in the 70s, is that correct?
73.
And were you part of the, you know, spiritual movement of the 60s and 70s? Were you interested in spirituality at that time? Like, what was your stance on that?
I wasn't part of the movement, a card-carrying member, but I was always I was always a seeker. I was always looking for answers. And unfortunately, traditional religion didn't provide them for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't get what I was looking for. My mother was Irish Catholic, very religious. My father was Hebrew. But neither one of those two religious patterns attracted me for various reasons. So I went on a search and studied many other forms of spirituality. But when Bill came on the scene, he stole my heart.
And yeah.
He was definitely spiritual. I mean, he was one of the best spiritual teachers I've had the privilege of meeting. Wayne was a great teacher. Deepak Chopra is a great teacher. There are other ones. He wasn't the only one. But yeah. For me, he was the first one. He's
yeah.
My first love. Let me put it that way. You don't forget your first love.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It sounds like he really radiated an energy that drew people in and was transformational. And for me, that's something that I did feel from Wayne. It's something that I felt from Ram Dass as well. And, you know, a few other people that I've come into contact with. But I think there's something to that first person that really opens your heart and your mind. And it's hard to explain why that is. It's this moment of recognition. It's this opening inside of you. It's a remembering. And like with Dr. Dyer, it's like everything he said, I was like, well, yeah. It's like, of course, like, it's like, you'd think I already knew all of that, except I wasn't living like I knew that. So he sounds like a beautiful man, and it's a little sad actually that more people don't know who he was, but he touched a lot of lives in the chiropractic community and the medical community, it sounds like. So and that carries forward, doesn't it?
Right. He left his imprint in the hearts of thousands. Yeah. He threw the stone into the pond, and the ripples went out into the world.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
Although he's not in physical form, he still lives and moves and breathes in all of us. I carry spirit. I definitely carry the spirit.
And we're thankful that you have for the work that you've been doing in the world. I think that your message is so beautiful, and it's so clearly coming from the heart what you're doing. And I can see that, you know, maybe you measure yourself a little bit to your mentor that you couldn't carry on what he was doing, but we all have our own calling. We all have our own mission, and you're absolutely living that by staying tuned into every moment, what is right now. And now you're an author and a speaker and bringing these messages out to all of us. So, yeah, amazing. Oh, I want to commend you for listening to the voice of your own heart, because I think that takes a lot of courage.
Well, as you get quieter, the voice gets louder.
Yeah. So true. The silence, in the silence is where we find God. Now, can you tell me where did you first hear about Dr. Wayne Dyer? Did you read his books, or how did you come across him?
I think I saw him on a PBS special once.
Yeah.
He used to walk back and forth across the stage, you know. Watching, you know how he was, right? And yep. Everything he said was what I would call tonal. It sounded the tone of truth. And yeah. I resonated with that. He was talking what Bill was talking about. So there was an immediate remembering recognition when I heard him express the truth. Once you've been exposed to the truth and you hear it again, you immediately know if it's true or not.
Yeah, there it is again. Yes.
And for me, Wayne was speaking his journey, his truth. So it was a PBS special, I believe.
Yeah. So can you tell us about the first time that you met Dr. Dyer?
Well, the first time I met him, I was at a chiropractic convention in Northern California. Mm-hmm. I was not a speaker at that one. I was just a participant. But right after he spoke, I had read his books up until that point. I've read many of his books and totally resonated with what he was saying, as I did with Deepak Chopra. And it's no coincidence that Wayne and Deepak were friends. Yeah. They had a nice friendship offline. So anyway, I went up to him after the seminar, and like a groupie, I said, "Could I have a picture with you? Would that be okay?" And he says, "Why, sure, Ken." So he puts his arm around me. I sent you the photograph.
Yeah, I love it.
He was taller than me, and I'll never forget him looking down at me after the picture was taken, and spontaneously looked at me. He says, "Ken, do you know that you and I have one heart?" I felt the love. I felt immediately. I knew what he was saying was true. We were about the same mission, the same purpose. And I never forgot that. That imprint he put on me by reminding me that was quite, I don't think he told that to a lot of people personally.
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm sure he didn't.
He did. Yeah. But he told me, and I didn't forget it. So fast forward 17 years later, when I meet him again by synchronicity,
yeah,
I reminded him what he had said to me. And we engaged for the second time. And we had a lovely discussion. And I was quoting to him his books. So he knew I knew all about his books. And here I am, chapter and verse, giving him back. And the way I met him, by the way, I was walking on the beach, not the beach, the pathway next to the beach in Kanapali with my wife, Judith. And he was about 50 yards ahead of me, maybe 100 feet. And he was on the phone. Wayne was on the phone a lot, by the way. He was always on the phone. Anyway, I yell out like a kid, "Wayne," and he drops the phone. And I'm glad he did, because now he didn't have an excuse. He may have just walked right by me and said, "I'm busy, I can't talk to you."
But yeah,
see how it worked? It stopped, we engaged, I reminded him of the meeting him, blah, 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 blah. 20 minutes or a half hour later, he comes running down the path looking for me after we said goodbye. And he says, "Oh, Ken, I am so sorry. I am so thankful I found you again." I said, "Well, what can I do for you, Wayne?" He says, "I'm having some health challenges, and God told me," these were his words, "that you're going to come and take care of me and help me. Would you do that?" I said, "Wayne, it would be my honor."
Incredible.
And that's how I became, you know, connected to him.
So you were obviously a fan of his. You'd read his books, and you were excited to see him. So what was that like when he was like, "I know that I've been told you're going to help me"? Like, what was that like for you?
Truthfully, there was an inner knowing already that it was
yeah.
right.
I was the right one
to help him. I knew that I was sent to help him. I didn't even know, by the way, he lived on Maui. I was there to go to see Ram Dass.
Mm-hmm.
That's the serendipity of it all. You know, I didn't go there with the intention of looking for him consciously.
Yeah.
But when I did meet him and he asked me, I knew that's why I was sent. It was really to meet him. I thought I was going to meet Ram Dass, which I did later on anyway. But I was so happy that the circumstances worked out, that Wayne and I, our paths crossed, we recognized each other, and so the rest is history.
Yeah. Now, you had a dream about meeting him, hadn't you?
I did many, many years between the time he told me we had one heart and the second time, I had a dream I was going to meet three people. The same dream. It was Oprah Winfrey, Deepak Chopra, and Wayne Dyer. And two out of the three have happened already. We call those precursor synchronicities. Yeah. I haven't met Oprah yet, but I know she's on deck. And the way I know is I met Gail King hiking in the woods in New York State serendipitously. I told her the story. She said, give me a card, Ken. Oprah loves stories like this. And 6 months later, I meet Stebbin Graham. He sits down next to me while I'm eating breakfast in California. And I started to get giddy. And I said, by the way, I had this dream about me and Oprah. He says, what kind of a dream? And I told him, he says, give me a card. Oprah loves stories like this. So I say to myself, why would I have met Gail King and Stebbin Graham if I wasn't going to meet Oprah at some point?
Yeah, so, what are the chances, right?
Slim to none. So I sent her the book, and I'm waiting patiently for the interview. By the way, in the dream with Oprah specifically, she was interviewing me about a book I hadn't even written yet. I didn't know I was going to write this book in the dream, but the dream knew. So now the book is out. I sent it to her, so I wait patiently.
Here it is. Oprah, you're next. Well, you're in the docket.
I could actually look. I remember looking into her eyes in the dream. You know, I mean, we had eye-to-eye contact and heart-to-heart. Because I think Oprah's about the same thing that Wayne was about and Deepak was about. She's about elevating and changing consciousness.
Yeah, she's a seeker, too. It's been really interesting to see her shift into spirituality. And there was almost a clear division in her show when she was on daytime TV that, you know, she went from kind of talking about more material issues and more kind of social drama. And then she started to really shift into spirituality. And that's when I really was like, ooh, like what is Oprah doing? Like, and she's still doing it, which is fantastic. Like she's still on that path that still really lights her up.
She loved Wayne. When I was in Wayne's home, there were pictures of Oprah and Wayne all over the refrigerator in different places. They had a real friendship. They asked Wayne Dyer, what's one thing you really know? And he says, well, I know one thing. Oprah always says at the end of her interviews, the Super Soul Sundays, no matter who she has on, she says, tell me one thing you know for sure. And when she did it with Wayne, he says, well, I know one thing for sure, Oprah, I love you.
That's what he said to her.
I love you. And you could see in the pictures that there was a definite love there. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Now, Oprah also got awakened, I think, with Eckhart Tolle. When she did the Eckhart Tolle interview, that was a pivotal point for her. She had a lot of aha moments in that interview. He's another great teacher, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Eckhart's second book, the first one, The Power of Now, launched him. But I really believe his second book, The New Earth, if you haven't read it, it's an excellent book.
Yes.
It's a blueprint for planetary restoration because it starts with the individual. As we restore, the world restores.
I actually have a story about that related to synchronicity. I went to Hawaii with my sister. We went to Maui. And I was sitting – we just got off the plane and we got to the rental car place and I'm sitting outside and I'm reading A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle and I'm feeling really inspired. I'm feeling really tuned in and I'm looking at the cars and there's this convertible sitting there and I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great to have a car like that to drive around the island? And like 10 minutes later, my sister comes out and goes – they upgraded us. So come check out the car we're getting. And it was that car. It was that convertible. And it was so, like, I'm getting chills just talking about it. But it was so amazing. And like, there was no doubt in my mind that because of like the state that I was in, and it was just curious gratitude, right? About, wow, wouldn't that be great? And I was just kind of imagining what it would be like. And then we lived it, right? And we drove on the road to Hana with like the wind whipping through our hair. And oh, it was so much fun. You know, it was just a dream. And I didn't plan it. I wouldn't have ever like considered even trying to make that happen. It was just this moment of what if. But I connect that to Eckhart Tolle because I was reading his book, A New Earth, at the time.
I love it. I love it because in everything is an imagination first. You were imagining, wouldn't it be nice? You looked at that car and said, wow, wouldn't it be? And then you manifested it. That was not an accident. I mean, that's not randomness. I mean, that's the power of consciousness. You know, and I always tell people, be careful what you wish for because you might get it.
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for, because if you have a bad wish or something not good, that can come to you just as easily as something as beautiful as you did. By the way, I'm glad to see you survived the road to Hannah. That is That is one heck of a drive. Now, I did it with my wife, Judy, and unfortunately, I'm dumb. It said, do not go beyond this point. Well, being from New York, I don't usually follow the rules. It says, rental car is not permitted beyond this point. But I said, go back that way. That way was horrible. So we proceeded to go. I'll tell you, it was the most difficult, challenging ride I ever did. But when we got on the other side of that road, I got an incredible picture. It looks like it was otherworldly, of a sunset on one of the other islands. And I'll never forget it. I mean, I said, oh, that's the gift, because I didn't listen to the sign. But that's quite a ride. Anyone doing that, make sure you don't eat a full meal, because you'll give it right back, because it is serpentine.
It's something like 200 turns, and it was really crazy. And I got married in the Big Island, and then we hopped over to Maui for part of our honeymoon. And I was pregnant at the time, and I went down that road with a half baked baby in my tummy. And I got this little onesie that said, survive the road to Hana for our unborn baby. But I have so many beautiful memories of Hawaii. There's something about that, those islands. It's like there's magic in the sand, it emanates from that place. And that's why.
Do you know why? Because the Hawaiian islands in New Zealand are parts of the same mountain range.
Oh.
Oceans in between, but that was one landmass at one point. Wow. And those people, the indigenous Maori people and Hawaiian people, they carry the memory of the motherland, the land of Mu.
Yeah.
Which is Lemuria. And that's why there's a magic energy there. My wife says she thinks she came from that. When we were there, she says, I just feel at home here. We've been maybe a dozen times to Maui. So, there's a reason for that. It's not coincidental.
Yeah. I've seriously considered moving there, but it's not in the cards right now, and that's totally okay. I have a beautiful life. So this brings us to the topic of synchronicity. And I wanted to ask you, so you were in private practice for 45 years, and what I feel like you had this pull to start writing before you retired. And I feel like that was all kind of interwoven together. But I want to ask you, what inspired you to write this book? What made you want to get this message out?
Discover a new relationship and approach to life through the space between. Join spiritual teacher Brittany Mondito for A Moment of Silence, a weekend workshop May 24th to 26th at Omega Institute's beautiful campus in Rhinebeck, New York. Everything we're searching for lies behind what we're running from, Brittany says. Reconnect with your inner sense of safety, grounding, and centeredness. Learn more today at eomega.org/thrive.
It's a good question because, I've been experiencing synchronicities my entire life, actually. But they started to happen with greater rapidity and greater intensity. They weren't just coincidental, oh, isn't that cute? There were pivotal synchronicities. I mean, some of them life-changing for me. And I struggled with writing them because I said, so, okay, this is happening to me, but what's the bigger message here? They're going to read my nice stories. Big deal. They're going to say, oh, he met this one, he met that one. So who cares? I had to get over that ego resistance to writing it I would be judged as being a braggart because I met a lot of famous people. And then the voice of the soul said, hey, dummy, it's not about you. Write it to remind people of their own. Let them know they're not alone. Let them know they're being guided their entire life. They're not walking this earth by themselves. That many of these synchronicities have been prearranged by their ancestors, the spirits, the angels, so on and so forth. So it was really the reason I wrote the book. I wanted the people to know that they were not here by themselves. Now, some synchronicities you can self-create through intention and elevated emotion, like Joe Dispenza's work. You create an electromagnetic field. The thought is electrical. The emotion is magnetic. You create an arc. You attach an elevated thought, an elevated emotion with a thought. You create an electromagnetic field, which is an arc. It goes out into the Wi-Fi, and you draw from the 5D reality, the field of pure potentiality, all the circumstances and events to make something happen. Some of that's self-directed, but a lot of these synchronicities, I believe, are graced. We're given the opportunity. I always think of it, of the marionettes, you know, those little puppets. And so the spirit world says, okay, Ken's going to meet, it's going to meet Wayne now, or Ken's going to meet, you know, Nadia now for a specific reason, and we'll arrange it. We'll arrange the meeting. Let's pray that they're awake, aware, and alert, and they'll recognize each other when they meet.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting stories now from people all over the world, because in the back of the book, we ask you people, send me your story. And some of my stories are Mickey Mouse compared to what other people are experiencing.
You know? I think everybody has these stories of synchronicity, but they don't always recognize that, that's what it is, or they were amazed when it happened and then they kind of forgot about it, and maybe it'll come up later.
Right. It's called connecting the dots. I call it stepping stones. Connect, you know, you step on one stone to another. In the moment, you don't always recognize they're happening. But in retrospect, you say, oh, so that's why I had a, my flight got canceled and I had to go to another gate to meet so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. Now, a lot of people in relationships find that they have synchronistic arrangements by the spirit world when they fall in love. How people get together is unbelievable. Sometimes they're childhood sweethearts, they separate, they get married, the spouses die, they get divorced, and then they meet again for very specific reasons.
Yeah.
It's magical, mystical. It is. It definitely is.
There's definitely more to the world of the unseen than I think there is to the world of the seen. Like Wayne used to say, there's something bigger moving the pieces around. And, you know, I feel it that everything is energy. And so we are connected to all of it. Of course we are. We're not limited to five senses. Like, there's so much more going on. And we're limiting ourselves by thinking that we're just this body, or I am what I do, or I am what I have, right? That's all that ego separation. But to be, as Dr. Dyer would say, a no limit person, right? That was his early psychological take on things, is you have to be willing to expand. And to be willing to expand, I think you have to accept the truth of who you are, which I think is big, because there's a sense of responsibility that comes with knowing that you have so much influence on what you experience in life and how you experience it.
Absolutely true. Everything you just said is 100% true.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. And I think if we understood all of it, we would just be having so much fun. Like, this would be play, right? Life would be, wow, isn't it amazing? Like, let's see what happens if I do this, or what if I focus on that? This is a really exciting direction. And
yeah. Well, if you want to have more synchronicities, deviate from your normal routines. Don't do the same thing over and over and over. Have a deviation. That's called the deviation synchronicity. Change your routine, the way you go home, the way you go to work, and talk to strangers.
Yeah.
Strangers are friends you haven't met yet. No one's really a stranger to you. You know, and listen to what they say to you. Sometimes you'll be guided about what you should be doing next if you're at a precipice point where you have to make a decision, or sometimes what not to be doing next. So from the guy who pumps your gas to the person who checks you out at the supermarket, it's God in disguise. Pay attention. Yeah. Don't judge people by how, you know, their station in life, their color of the skin, or their economic status. Uh-uh. I always say God isn't dragging everyone.
And yeah, I'll ask you to say that. Yeah.
So I get up every day and I like more uncertainty. Certainty is boring. You know, pray for more uncertainty. Now, people are right now freaking out because we're in a pandemic. And what does everybody want to know? When is it going to be over? And the truth is, no one knows. It'll be over when it's over. No politician, no scientist is going to come out and tell you when it's over. For me, in many ways, it's already over. I'm not living in that limited consciousness that if someone looks at me or shakes my hand or gives me a hug, I'm going to die. I think that's tragic that's what we've come to now. I think that I've heard them say on TV, forget about handshaking, forget about hugging. Those days are over. I don't believe that for 1 minute. They're not.
Well, that's a choice. That's a choice for sure. And I don't think that this experience is ever really going to be over, right? We're never going to go back. We're always going forward. So what I feel like is this is a transformational time for the whole world, which is amazing, because how many times in the history of mankind has that happened? Very few.
Well, in modern time, it hasn't happened, but it's happened down through the ages. The history books didn't tell us the whole show here. You know, there's been the rise and fall of many conscious civilizations on this planet that you will read about in your textbooks. They've been altered. So it's happened before. And like you say, it's an ongoing process. I mean, this pandemic is part of the transition we're going through from chaos, I believe, back to order. It looks terrible right now. Oh my God, everything's falling apart, but not really. There's what we call catabolism and anabolism. Those are the two sides of a metabolic process. When you bring food into your body, you break it down and then you reform it. So you catalyze it and then you anabolize it. And that's what's going on in consciousness now. There seems to be a disintegration of all the old institutions. They're not working anymore. Education, medicine, healthcare, blah, blah, blah. And yet there's something new forming, concomitant or simultaneously, but you don't hear it on the news.
Well, there's so much potential in this time, right? And I think it's important to focus on that, because if we're focusing on what we're losing, then we're missing the opportunity for what we're building. And, you know, another thing that Wayne Dyer often said was that, you know, great things are often preceded by a fall in our personal life, as well as a society. So what can we build from this? You know, what is it that we want to fall away that this is an opportunity for, and what can we build? And I think, you know, you speak about the law of attraction, very much connected to synchronicity. And I think it's important to remember that what we focus on expands. So let's focus on what we can do.
I say, let's focus on loving one another. That's what I want.
Love. Only love. Yes. And
compassion, patience, understanding. These are the qualities of beingness. This idea of social distancing separates us. I'm sad that that's what they're promoting at this point, but I think there'll be a rebound. People will be starving for contact.
We're going to be more motivated to spend time with the people that matter to us, because we've come into contact with our priorities, what our real priorities are. When you stop some of that busyness and some of that background noise, you know, there's an opportunity for clarity. There's an opportunity for clarity if you're not so distracted by the static and the fear. And there's a lot of fear right now. But, you know, I think that your book, Synchronicity, is a great reminder, especially at a time like this, of the magic that's always happening in our lives if we just stop and notice, and that we can invite more of that. Now, you have a guide to synchronicity that people can access from your website, drkenharris.com, D-O-C-T-O-R, kenharris.com. And I have that here, and I just think that that is a fantastic little handout. Yes, a user's guide to categorizing and understanding synchronicity. And one of the things that stood out to me is on the last page, you have these principles of synchronicity that the universe will align you with people, things, and situations that match the energy and frequency you are expressing. People move in and out of your life path based on the law of attraction. The universe is always speaking to you. Pay attention.
These are foundational principles. This is operative 24/7.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. For me, the final thought, there's a whole series of these. And by the way, you get this for free if you register on my website. There's no fee for this. It's a 5-page printout. It's really a summary of the book in many ways. It talks about the 7 types, the 6 reasons we meet people, the 5 questions you ask yourself for interpretation, and the 4 practices to have more synchronicity in your life. So I call it the 7-6-5-4 formula for having more synchronicity, which I'm going to do a TED talk on at some point. But anyway, the principles, I love them. I didn't make them up. They've been around for a while. I just coalesced them into this format. But the final one, I want to let everybody know the final one, because to me, the clincher. At the end of your life, when you reflect back and you connect the dots, you will come to finally realize that it was never random. We're not flotsam and jetsam going through life randomly. That idea of mathematical probability is, as far as I'm concerned, ludicrous. Anyone who believes that it's just chance, you got a rude awakening coming when you realize there's never a chance.
Well, it's an awakening. It'll be an awakening for sure.
A rude one for some people.
Whoa.
Yeah, I did that. What's happening?
Yeah, radical acceptance that you're responsible for everything in your life is big. And as sometimes it's too big, people aren't quite ready for that. But yeah, Wayne Dyer's book, I Can See Clearly Now, is exactly that. It's looking back on his life and putting the dots together and seeing that, you know, oh, that's why this happened. And I can see I was being guided in this direction, or that I had set this intention that I hadn't even maybe really even understood. And then all these things happened to lead me to where he got to be.
Yeah. The last time I saw Wayne, he gave me that book personally with a nice little inscription to Ken. And he gave me Anita Morjani's book, Dying to Be Me, which he promoted her. If anyone doesn't know Anita's work, she's excellent.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, Dying to Be Me was her book, and Wayne promoted her around the world. And he gave me that as well. So those are the last two books he gave me. But I have them, I cherish them.
Yeah. So there is a quote on your website from Dr. Dyer, and you did an attunement for him. And he says, I felt like I was translated to a heavenly place, and I did not want to return back here to earth. I can just imagine him coming out of this energy, of this space, being almost speechless, which he probably is rarely speechless. Can you tell us about what an attunement is? I know it's a little hard to put into words, but what can you tell us about that?
Well, that's like asking me, what does chocolate taste like? How are you going to know what chocolate tastes like?
It's delicious.
But an attunement is an energetic healing process. It's a non-touch healing modality. You don't actually touch the physical body, but you work in the seven endocrine glands, which are the seven gates or thrones before God, they're called, where energy comes into the body. Starts at the pineal, goes to the pituitary, thyroid, thymus, adrenals, and pancreas and adrenals and gonads. So they're each correlated to an emotional feeling. And they either open or close these seals, depending on your emotional state, with openness or closeness of heart. And the heart is really where you connect with your soul. So I did this attunement with Wayne, and our hearts merged. My heart and his heart became one heart, like he had told me. And we were taken to another state of consciousness where I didn't know where he began and I ended, or he ended and I began, to be all honest with you. And when I stopped the process, I left him. He fell asleep for about a half hour. But when he woke up, he was dazed, and he came to me and he said, "Hey, Ken, did you learn that in chiropractic college?" I said, "No, I didn't learn that. That's not a chiropractic technique." That was the first time he experienced it to me, because up until that point, I was doing traditional adjustments. But for that day, for some reason, I was told share an attunement with him, and he was very open to it. So he said he went to a place that he'd never been before. He took himself there, by the way. I didn't send him there. He gave himself permission to go to the other side. And he didn't want to come back. He said at some point he was in such state of union or peace, but he eventually did come back, and he lived another 3 years. Yeah. But I told him, in all honesty, you know, when I checked him out energetically, we had this conversation. I said, you know, Wayne, your heart is running on empty almost at this point. You don't have a lot more energy left. You've been giving yourself away to the world. Why don't you just do a webinar right here on Maui, like Oprah did with Eckhart, and have the cameras come and interview you, and you'll speak to 3 million people. You don't even have to leave. He had two condos side by side on Maui, lived in one, worked in the other, across the hall, mm-hmm. his commute. And you know what he says? Hey, Ken, I love the audience. I can't talk to a camera. I got to be in front of live people. He said, I'm addicted to the audience. He says, so that's not going to happen for me. And he was very clear. He says, you know, when it's my time to go, there'll be no wheelchairs or nursing homes for Wayne Dyer. He already knew that he was going to die abruptly. You know, soul knew that. And he was okay with it. He wasn't looking to squeeze out another day, another week, another month. he already had touched the experience of altered states of being. So death was, I don't think he had any fear of death.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think in some ways, you know, maybe he felt like he could continue his work in spirit. You know, so many people still feel his presence. And, you know, I have no doubt that he had a part in bringing us together in divine timing. And I'm really thankful for that. So you never know what Dr. Wayne Dyer is still doing. He's not limited by his body anymore.
Not at all. I had a medium call me up out of the blue from Facebook. She said, I see you have love for Wayne Dyer because she went on my website. She says, I just want you to know, I had a dream that, and you and him were in the dream the other night, and he wants you to know wherever you go, he'll be with you, Ken. You're not going to go out into the world by yourself. This is what she told me. I said, I kind of know that already. I said, but it's nice to hear it from someone who didn't know me at all. But she had this vivid dream where we were both in a dream. He was in an altered state of beingness, his light body. But I was still alive, she said. And he just wants you to know he'll be with you. As is my mentor, Bill. I know when I speak publicly, I call in my helpers. So, you know, and I ask that let my words be true to my heart so that they resonate with people at the right time. Because when you speak publicly, there's someone in that audience that needs to hear that message that day. You know, you can change lives if you just don't go in with a canned, pre-planned approach. Just like this tonight. We didn't really, he said, Ken, I'm just going to ask you some questions. So we're winging it, folks, if you will. I mean, Maddie, she decided she was just going to have a conversation, and I didn't really have I wasn't prompted or promoted or prepped, as they say, for this conversation. But someone listening to this talk tonight is going to have a life-changing moment. They're going to have an aha moment as a result of what you and I just shared. I know that without a doubt. I don't know who they are, but I know someone will hear it.
That warms my heart so much. I feel like if there's one thing I wanted to do in this life is to tell people that they're not alone. And you said that in our conversation earlier. I feel a connection to angels, guides, and ancestors too. It's something that I bring to everything I do. And so, you know, with this conversation, I wanted to leave room for spirit. I think it's important to do that. I think Dr. Dyer did the same thing. You know, I really look up to him, and he talked about so much, particularly in maybe the last decade or two of his speaking. He would come up without notes, you know, and he would just speak from the heart and just trust that whatever needs to come out will come out. So, yeah. And I think this has been an amazing conversation, and the story that you told about reconnecting with Dr. Dyer in Maui, is in your book, Synchronicity. It's one of the chapters in there, and I really enjoyed reading that. So if you're interested, check it out. It's available now on Amazon. You can also go to, your website. What's the best way for people to reach you?
Well, we ask people to please register on the website. I give a free newsletter out every month, so we have an ongoing connection. So if they go to doctorkenharris.com and put in their name and their email address, and if they want to buy the book from my website, they can, or they can get it right from Amazon. And I'll be, I just got a letter. I'm going to be in 20 other bookstores soon.
Great.
And it's going to be translated into Spanish. Some Very company cool. in Spain just called me, and they said it'd take about a year, but they want to open this up to the Latin community.
It's growing, and I think it's gonna get in the hands of the people who need it most. So, thank you for stepping up to do this work, and you know, bringing through these stories for all of us. So, what's next for you? Are you planning another book?
Well, I do have the beginning of a second book. You know this about me, but this past January, I had a heart attack, of all things, unexpected, not planned. by all physical means, I should have been dead. I had 100% blockage in one of my coronary arteries. But through synchronicity, my life was spared. Through divine intervention, without a doubt, so many things had to work out. The perfect storm in the right way to save my life. So I'm going to write a book called Extra Innings,
I love it.
From Sudden Death. And I'm going to ask people to send me their stories of how how they feel their lives were saved as well. But without a doubt, my life was given back to me. I was a thankful guy before, but you can't imagine how thankful I am now that I have some extra time to go around and blab about my book. Because I said, as they're rolling me into the hospital, I said, hey, guys, you know, I just wrote this best-selling book. It hit number one in three categories. You want to let me go around and talk about it?
If you didn't know that you were here for a reason before, you definitely know it now, right? Yeah, there's more for you to do here.
There's more for all of us to do, Natalie. It's not a one-man show. You know, it's a group consciousness. If the earth's going to be restored, it's going to take a collaboration of many light workers and people who are waking up. My prayer is that we wake up sooner than later before it's too late for the planet. So my prime mission at this point is to go around the world to remind people who they are and to come out of the illusion of separation back to the reality of oneness. What I do to you, I do to myself. If people really get that, we won't have wars anymore. We wouldn't hurt one another. Would we be kind to each other? There would be no sense of other. There would be no them and us. There'd be only we.
Yeah, we are all one.
So for however much time I have, extra innings, we'll see. Sometimes those games go long, you know. They go into 12, 14, 15 innings, you know.
You never know, but it's going to be a lot of fun finding out.
Well, I that's my attitude. You know, I'm not heavy about it. I can get very serious and so on. But for the most part, I think what the world needs now is people who are staying calm, centered, encouraging, and uplifting. If I don't want people to be Chicken Little, the sky's falling. That'll put you into fear, and fear will depress your immune system and will make you more vulnerable to this virus or any other condition. So we need to come out of fear. And the only antidote I know for fear is love. That's what they say. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's the only way we're going to get at this. And we got to learn to love self and love other. When I say self, I don't mean ego self. I mean, the self that's in me is the same self that's in you.
Yeah. And I can feel that love radiating from you to the world. And it's clear in everything that you're doing. You have an incredible lifetime of wisdom and experience that you're sharing with all of us. And that is really a gift. So it's really been an honor to have you with me today for this conversation. And I'm so blessed that we came together and found each other. And, you know, you are one of several synchronicities that led me on this path to starting this podcast. So if it wasn't for you, maybe this wouldn't be here. So thank you for being a part of that. I'm really inspired by your work, and I cherish the stories that you're sharing with us. I look forward to more incredible stories of synchronicities coming from you and the ones that people will be submitting to you. So thank you so much for joining me. This has been fantastic.
I would say ditto, ditto, ditto squared. And I know one thing, I am going to meet you in the flesh physically at some point down the road, whether it's going to be in Seattle where you live or New Jersey where I live. But this is not the last that we're going to see each other.
Absolutely. We will definitely talk again. And I look forward to meeting you in person one day. And boy, just look back on this incredible time of change that we're in. So with that, I think that we will let you go. Thanks again for joining me. You can check out Dr. Harris's website, Dr. Ken Harris, drkenharris.com. Get his book on Amazon, Synchronicity. And for all our listeners, if you've enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, tell your friends about it. And until next time, take care of yourself, take care of each other. Namaste.
Namaste.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stephen Farber, and I am an author, teacher, psychotherapist, and shamanic practitioner. On my podcast, Healing for Your Soul, I welcome some amazing guests and introduce you to some healing techniques like earth magic, working with nature and animals, and really getting to the heart of what is keeping you stuck. I want to help you deepen your spirituality and let go of blocks that are holding you back. Let me help you in this journey called life. Part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network, subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.